All right. I suppose I should start the show. Tired. I gotta stop traveling. I gotta stop working is what I gotta do, Gabe. Can't I retire from ESPN and just do the radio show?
That's up to you. It's up to you.
You do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, I'm not sitting here telling you what you can and cannot do.
I had some airport issues yesterday. Again, guys. In a shocking development. I will be happy the first time I go to the airport and don't have an airport issue. That doesn't seem to be plausible, possible. I was looking
at... Yeah, but some of these you create your own, right?
How? Tell me how I'm responsible for my airport problems, please.
When you booked the connecting flight that the airline wouldn't allow you to book, that seems to be something you created on your own.
Yes.
Because you literally had to create it on your own.
But that was not so much an issue as an adventure. Okay? It's all in how you look at it, Gabe. No, yesterday we landed Chew at 8 p.m. in Chicago, and my flight to Milwaukee took off at 8:20.
Jamaica?
Yes, because I ran through the airport again. And I was wondering, is there any incentive? Would there be any, like, group of people you think that would want to bet on these types of things? You know, that they would, like, you know, you got a closed circuit camera at the airport and they know when there's a tight connection. And so they're gathered around. This to me feels like either a Seinfeld skit or a Saturday Night Live skit. They're gathering around the closed circuit cameras and they're watching the people get off the plane and start to run. And they're making bets on whether or not they're going to make it to their next flight.
That was a Seinfeld, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, they bet on whether...
In Albany?
They were betting on whether or not the planes were coming in on time or which plane would come in before the other one. Yes, Kramer and a gentleman were betting on that.
Yeah. So that would be similar to this, except like, oh, that girl, she looks fast. She'll probably make it. That lady, no chance. She's got a roller bag and boots on. You know what I mean? Like that type of thing. You're betting, you know, how many children do you have in tow? That's definitely going to affect your ability to
make it. Well, if you have any children in tow, like the answer is you're not making it, right?
Wouldn't it be easier just to drive down there?
Yes. So that was so. Yes. And I did make the flight, the 8:20 flight to Milwaukee. And then we sat on the runway for 35 minutes.
Yeah.
And at that point, I'm going, why didn't I just take an Uber? Right. Because I could Uber from O'Hare to Mitchell. It's about $120, but a company, you know, expense it anyway. I should have. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. I don't know if it should be standard operating procedure from now on that I just take an Uber if I land at O'Hare and forego, bypass the Milwaukee leg of that trip. But I was very frustrated as we were sitting on the, and the gentleman next to me happened to be a pilot. And he's like, this is very normal for Chicago. And I was like, yes, it doesn't make it great just because it's normal.
I had the same thing happen when Gabe was supposed to pick me up from the airport one time where I had... Basically, I had a 36-hour flight issue coming back from Austin, Texas, and after having flights canceled, flights changed, ended up on the runway all the way out there, ready to take off. And they said, well, we have a mechanical issue, and we can't take this plane off. So I would have been better off getting a bus, getting an Uber, getting anything other than trying to take the, what is it, a 15-minute flight from Chicago?
Exactly. I mean, you get up, you level out, you take a couple breaths, and then you start your descent. It's crazy, that flight from Chicago to Milwaukee, but I did make it, so I'm here, so it's fine. Anyway, I was telling Gabe, I was looking for a list. At one point or another, guys, I power ranked things that were super. You know, Superman, super glue. There's a whole list of things I power ranked. I wonder where Super Conference would be on that power ranking list, because the Super Conference has gotten a lot of traction in the last 48 hours or so. It's been, you know, it's been building sort of like that snowball that starts to roll downhill momentum as we try to figure out what the solution is to the issues in college sports. And yesterday there was an article on The Athletic that talked about an 80 program Super League. 80 feels like a lot, guys. Like, that was my very first reaction to it, is are there really 80 great programs, or is it like 10 programs and 30 mediocre programs and the rest you could take it or leave it?
Yeah, but the problem is putting this together, because, well, the bottom 10 are ones that can get relegated and demoted. Where, and then the bottom 10 teams are kind of interchangeable.
Well, let's just start there, Chew. Do you like the idea of college football programs facing relegation?
Yes. And I believe I mentioned this in the past where I said, why don't we just get rid of the conferences, put all the teams in a computer so strength of schedule is close to the exact same for everyone. And then there's no discussion there. You don't have to worry about committees and all that. Let the computers handle it. But obviously the issue is pay. It's pay. It's the money. Because if you look, Jen, what did ESPN just pay for the college football playoffs? Like $7 billion?
It's definitely a B. I don't know what the number is.
I think it's 7.8.
Sure, 7.8?
How much do the kids get of that 7.8?
That would be $0, Bob.
Yeah, the whole flipping thing of, well, they get an education. These kids don't care. Not all of them, but a large percent of them don't care.
Well, you know who else doesn't care, Chew?
Who?
The coaches. They don't care if the kid gets the education or not.
Yeah, you're right. And we've had that discussion where, hey, you can't go to school and be pre-med. Can't.
Nope.
Can't handle the workload with. So let's stop fooling ourselves. So I just pulled up a list last year. The 80th team. Wow. The 80th team is Mississippi State.
Wow.
Yes. Okay. 81 Houston, 82 Colorado, 83 Purdue. So 80 probably is a decent number.
I think we get the 80 quicker than we think.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
When you start thinking about how big these conferences are now.
How many teams are in the SEC now? How many teams are in the Big Ten now? How many teams are in the ACC now? In the Big 12?
Well, now in the Big Ten, there's 16, 7. How many is it?
You could tell me 22, and I think I'd believe you at this point. Like, those conferences, those four, especially with the disbandment of basically the Pac-12,
yep.
All four of those conferences are pretty close to 20 teams each. And there's your 8, you know? And then you sprinkle in some of the teams from, like, the AAC that have had success recently. SMU, Tulane, Memphis, like, some of these other teams. And then if you want to add Notre Dame and Navy and Army and some of those schools, you get to 80 very fast.
I guess the issue for me immediately is not every team that is in those Power 5, quote-unquote, conferences deserves to be in the Super League. Like, just because you have affiliation with the Big Ten, I'm trying to think of a team without disparaging a team. Let's just,
Rutgers.
Whoever's at the, I was going to say Rutgers. Why do we always go to Rutgers immediately? Sorry, Shiano, but we do.
Because they're bad.
Yeah.
That's why.
Mm-hmm.
So, bad
yes,
football.
Yes. So, yes, a team like Rutgers. Do they deserve to be in? It's just because of their conference affiliation. The team has not held up its end of the donkey.
Sure, but in order for something like this to happen, you have to get the buy-in from the Big Ten and the SEC. And if Mississippi State is team number 82, okay, maybe they don't deserve to be in this. But guess what? The SEC is going to go, no, all of our members are getting in, and they're getting a big chunk of the pie. Especially the Big Ten and SEC, because they have the two largest television deals out there. So they want to make sure that their teams are getting the biggest piece of the pie.
Well, let me ask you this. Does the 80 change from year to year? Because I can give you some other teams. Michigan State, 86. Pittsburgh, 92. Stanford, 97.
This is exactly what we were discussing. There are going to be teams that are in those Power 5, again, quote unquote. I keep saying that because Pac-12 doesn't exist.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, it doesn't exist. So Power 5 is not accurate anymore, but we continue to call it that because, well, it rolls off the tongue. There are going to be teams at the bottom end of each of the conferences that probably wouldn't make the 80, but they will because they're in there. So let's talk about the next layer, and you talked about it, Chew. It's the money thing. You would have to unionize. And if you unionize, then you would have a players association. And if you have a players association, if you give a mouse a cookie, there are an awful lot of things that you would have to negotiate. It isn't just the revenue share of that $7.8 billion that you mentioned. It's injury settlements. It's health insurance. It's all of the things, too. I think it's eerily similar to all of the things that the NFLPA negotiates every time they go back to the boardroom with the NFL, every time they do a CBA.
Yeah, I mean, but the bottom line, and we're going to get there sooner or later, is the payers got to be paid. And not just, I don't know what cost of attendance is, and Gabe, you brought up in the meeting before that, well, kids do get paid. No, 5 kids on a team get NIL, if that. You know, Michigan State, how many kids do you think they're getting NIL money?
Well, okay, but then, Chew, the next inevitable question is, how do you figure out what each position is owed? Is it even Steven across the board? Do quarterbacks get more? Does the right tackle get less than the left tackle? Like, all of these things would have to come into consideration.
No, it wouldn't. I mean, if we're going to do, make it pro football. You have a salary cap. You spend however you see fit.
Yeah.
Well, what if they did this, guys? Keep the NIL, though, and have a performance-based dividing of the money where it doesn't matter if you're the quarterback or whatever, the inside linebacker. The quarterback's still going to get NIL money if he's good. And this is what he – let the position sort themselves with the NIL money.
Well,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I guess you just have to, again, if we're going to make this professional football, which is basically what they're doing, they're borrowing ideas from a bunch of different professional leagues, if you read the article over at The Athletic. If it's going to be professional football, Chew, you just make it a salary cap and you got to spend the money, and if you're good enough to get an endorsement, then go ahead. If you're Kool-Aid McKinstry and Kool-Aid wants to sign you to a deal, good for you. That's money on top of whatever your contract is. Just like when you played, you got the extra money for the swim suit stuff that you did on top of your Packer salary.
And then what do you do with the transfer portal?
Limit it's contracts. It. Well, you gotta limit it.
It's contracts.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Sign a 2-year contract.
So is everyone a free agent every single year, Gabe?
Well, no. It depends upon how. If you signed a 1-year deal, if you signed a 2-year deal, maybe you signed a 4-year deal with whatever institution you want to play at.
But then but then could there be trades? Our program's
of course.
Now trading?
Of course.
So, I mean, it basically is the NFL.
Yeah. Well, no, I think I don't think you can do trades.
No,
I think you gotta, because again, like, what if the education's actually important to you, and you're at one institution, you get traded to another institution where the program isn't as good as the one that you wanted to go to.
I don't know how much education is going to factor in here,
but I'm just saying, like, you have to pretend it matters.
I don't think you have to pretend anymore that it matters.
Then you can't call it college football.
Yeah, no, I think it's...
Just minor league football.
Yeah, it's a super league. The college idea and the amateurism and the fraudulent student-athlete thing, I think, goes away.
But the problem is you want to be tied to these universities because that's where the enthusiasm comes from.
Yeah, I think it's licensing,
is the fan bases that attended these universities that want to root for these programs.
Yeah.
So you still have to be tied to somewhat of a college idea. Like, you can't just, well, you're not going to school, you're just, you know, you're doing a football internship for the next 4 years.
Well, but then who decides where the money goes, right? So right now, the NCAA is kind of we always talk about them being a figurehead, but they definitely have a say in, like, how to disperse and distribute the money that comes in, right?
The NCAA is gone. No longer a factor.
Right. So I'm saying, when the money comes in, right, who decides where the money that's coming in from the revenue sharing, from the television deals, how are they deciding where to disperse in each program?
It's collectively bargained. Collectively bargained. The players would have to unionize, have a player rep. You know, I don't know whether you keep conferences, but maybe there's 3 player reps from every conference. And there's a Denora Smith that goes in and negotiates with whatever the NCAA is going to be. The bottom line is this, and I think we can all agree, the fact that college football, these universities are getting $7 billion, and the players are getting nothing. And I know people are going to sit there and go, well, they got nice weight rooms. They have this and that and that. And, you know, my son's been in college football for a long time now. And I said, what percentage of players, if they had the option, took the $55,000 a year of the education and just played football? How many of those would take it? And he said, it'd be a large number. Because I can tell you this, half these kids, maybe more than half these kids, don't belong in college. They belong maybe in a trade school or something like that.
But isn't
and
that...
what I would...
Chewy, well, my thing is that isn't that what college football has become? I mean, and I wouldn't say for the most part, but it basically is a breeding ground for the next level of football. But there are still going to be a lot of guys who aren't playing football at the next level, right? Like, what's the percentage of players who get drafted or are, you know, undrafted free agents... They play at the next level. It's small.
Very small.
You think about, I mean, Georgia has been a big example because they've had a lot of guys go to the NFL. I mean, what, they had 10 guys drafted last year, 12 guys drafted out of 100? Like, typically it's like a 100-man roster. And 10% of the best program in the country, 10% end up going to the NFL.
But, Gabe, couldn't you, and I tell you, couldn't you play college football if you were a hell of a college football player and said, you know what, the university doesn't offer, I want to be an electrician. Can I go to the technical school down the way and learn that trade? And say, you can't do that.
I mean, you'd have to go the long way around to do like electrical engineering and then dive back into the trades.
I'm just saying a plumber or an electrician.
Yeah. No, I mean, as of right now, you can't.
The system sucks. The system's so stupid.
Well, look, let's call a spade a spade. That's what this is, right? Everyone complains about how the system sucks right now, but then everybody's like, okay, what's the solution? Well, at least this group is trying to figure out what a solution is. And mm-hmm. it's going to, you know, be met with resistance initially because it's different than what we're used to. But we're trying to figure out here this morning if there are more merits to it than drawbacks. It just feels to me at this point in time, there are an awful lot of things they would have to get hammered out. There's an awful lot of T's that have to be crossed. There's an awful lot of I's that have to be dotted in order for this to be a viable option for college football. Could it get done? Of course it can. They put their mind to it. And, you know, where are we already talking about? A 16, right, team playoff or 14-team playoff in the very near future, even though we haven't even had the 12-team playoff yet. Like, they can get this done. The question we're asking this morning is, do you like it? Do you want to see it? Do you want an 80-team, are they calling it a Super League?
Yeah, that's what it's being called in the article.
Super League for college football. 800-990-3776. We will continue talking about that this morning. We have to take a break. Get to Jason Wilde. Talk about those Green Bay Packers right after this.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He has come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chew, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
We love our time with Jason Wilde. Three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Hello.
We're good. We were just talking about the Super League. We'll shelve that for a moment and talk a little green and gold.
Wait, like with Aquaman and Batman and they're at the
Super
Hall of
Friends.
Justice?
So good.
Oh, sorry, wrong one. My
yes.
Bad. No. The Wonder Twins. Wonder Twin powers activate.
Exactly.
Form of an ice cube.
Right.
One of them loved
of a
ice.
Bucket of water.
Jason, I see this news that Adam Schefter reported yesterday. No, you're good. About Joey Lane. I got to be honest with you. I was not familiar with Joey Lane's work, but apparently he is leaving the Green Bay Packers to take a job with the Seattle Seahawks. This comes several weeks before the draft, when it feels like salary cap and the things that Joey Lane was responsible for are important. How big of a loss is this for Green Bay?
So I hate to admit this because I like people to believe that I know what I'm talking about. And I think I do most of the time. I didn't know who Joey Lane was either when I saw that. And I would say this, Chad Brinker, who was in kind of that role previously, had been there for a very long time. He was kind of like Russ Ball's right-hand man. And I think they were actually grooming Chad to be kind of the next Russ Ball eventually when Russ retired. And Chad Brinker got an opportunity with the Tennessee Titans and is there. And now he's their Russ Ball, basically. And so I think Joey was kind of the next guy that they were grooming. His time not nearly as lengthy as Chad's at learning at the knee of Russ Ball. And so, I think that there's one of the things the Packers are really good at, if you look at their personnel department, if you look at their coaching staff, at least in previous years, I think Matt LaFleur kind of started with a pretty young staff. So I think it's taken a little while longer for people to recognize that they've got some good coaches. But they develop from within pretty darn well. So I'm sure the next Joey or Chad or Chandler or whoever it might be next, Ross, will be good.
Jason, going back to the owners meeting, did anything ever come of officiating or replay, or do they just out of sight, out of mind, we'll wait next year until they start, till the fans start complaining about it again? Was there any discussion?
Yeah, I don't think there was any like substantive discussion about making changes, what were you thinking they might discuss to change?
Full-time referees. There's going to be more training. I love the idea. I forget what was it, LSU that was using virtual reality?
Yes.
The quarterback there, something. I mean, we're going to complain about it again, but is it just kind of like, eh, out of sight, out of mind?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that they have really improved on in that arena. And the biggest thing, and I'm still not sure I understand exactly how they did it, but what they basically did was created a sky judge without actually, like, having a sky judge. You know, like, they've got that kind of nerve center in New York where they've got all these folks watching the games and radioing into the earpieces of the referee if there's something that needs to be discussed. And then we get that after further discussion, they change a call where there's not a challenge. There's not a announcement like they have in college football. The previous play is under review. Like, and I think that that has been a really good addition, because I think that has corrected a huge number of mistakes before they became controversial or before coaches had to challenge. I think the trend has been, and I think this is important, and I think it's a good idea because it also accelerates the speed of the game, is let's try and limit what coaches can or need to challenge, right? Like, you know, obviously one of the plays that would have been replayed, and we always talk about this because it was the play that I believe led directly to the return of instant replay, was the Jerry Rice fumble in San Francisco, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was could not have been a more clear recovery and a clear fumble, and it was poorly officiated, and it leads to T.O.'s catch and you guys losing. In a year, by the way, that despite all the drama with Holmgren and the expectation of him leaving and him cursing out or giving the finger to the fan against Philly at home, that I always thought you guys, Dorsey was back healthy, Brett played really well in that game. I always thought you guys, if you could have won that game, it would have been really interesting to see if you would have made it to a third Super Bowl. But I digress. My point is that that type of play, one of the things they did right away was turnover plays are automatically reviewed, right? Touchdowns and turnover plays, because they're such important plays. And then they extend what officials have now done, which I think is smart, is when there is a play that is borderline a turnover or borderline a touchdown, they've been logical about it and said, okay, we're going to call it a turnover or call it a touchdown. So then it automatically gets reviewed, as opposed to in the Jerry Rice case, before they had replay, they didn't rule it a fumble. And in today's game, if you don't rule it a fumble right away, it wouldn't have been automatically reviewed. And so what I'm saying is that while there are always, you're right, there's always going to be complaints, there's always going to be missed calls, I think that they have done an outstanding job of mitigating just how frequently they screw stuff up. Because Lord knows, with the number of plays and nuances in today's game, there is the opportunity to screw up a lot. And I think their batting average is pretty high.
Jason, what do you think is the next step? We keep on talking about Jordan Love and his growth and what he did at the end of last season. What do you think are those next steps for Jordan Love to continue the success and even maybe even get better than what he did in the second half of last season?
Well, I thought one thing that he got better at during the second half of last season, from my perspective, was that he was a little more careful when he ran. I know he and I would joke around in the locker room a little bit. And again, I am a helicopter parent and a helicopter beat writer, but you know, I really enjoy our relationship. And he kind of got bad. He got after me for being such a worrier. But when he would run, I thought he put himself in harm's way. And I recall the conversation that Mike McCarthy had had with Aaron Rodgers early in his time as the starter, about how you have to recognize how frickin' good you are and how important you are to what we do here. And McCarthy was basically, look, we love your toughness, we love your fearlessness, but you're too important to do that kind of stuff. And it took Rodgers a while to fully embrace that, right? Like, he got that concussion in, he got one in Tampa in 09, if I remember right, and then he got another one in against Washington in 10, and that was the one that caused him to miss the New England game.
No, he got another one, Jason, against Detroit. He had two that year.
The Detroit one was the worst one, but he also got those other ones too, and it led to obviously what I was just talking about, kind of a revisiting of, dude, we talked about this. What are you doing? And so, you know, I do think that one of the things that Jordan needs to continue to pay attention to is that, because he had that one run. You guys, I can't remember who it was against. It was at Lambeau. And he takes off, and he goes up the left sideline, the visitor's sideline, and it looks like he's going to go out of bounds. And instead, he cuts back into the field of play and gains like another 10 yards. And like the cameras even caught him smiling as he went back to the huddle. And I thought, okay, that was awesome. Like, that was really, like, effective. And then I thought, I wonder if LaFleur's going to get after him a little bit, because it was also risky. And so that's one thing that, for me at least, brings to mind immediately. I think the biggest thing for him to continue his very clear upward trajectory will be, how do you handle the counter moves that are coming now from opposing defenses? And Chewy knows this as well as anyone. The NFL is all about, okay, we're doing this well. We know that defenses are going to figure out how to stop it. And it's now our responsibility, whether it's the coaches or the players, obviously it's both, to figure out, okay, we were doing this well. They have figured out a way to stifle that. Now, how do we figure out a way to do something else that they can't stop either? And so I think that's kind of the obvious next progression, is they're going to defenses now know what he's really good at. They know what types of routes he throws really well, what types of routes his guys really run well. Everything that's effective, everything that worked last season, they have it all on film now from those last 10 games. They're going to have a better idea of how to stop it. Now, what are LaFleur and Love and Stenovich and all these guys going to do to counteract that?
Jason, before we let you go, there are some rumblings about the Packers moving up. Apparently, it's the worst-kept secret in the offseason that the Packers are one of three teams rumored to be interested in trading up to number 16, which is the Seattle Seahawks spot. That would, of course, put them in the top 20 and maybe help them land, you know, one of those guys that they are really interested in having on their roster. Are you hearing any rumblings of that, and would it surprise you if the Packers decided to trade into the top 20?
It wouldn't surprise me at all. And I have not heard specific rumblings of that, because I'm not talking to those types of people, and Goody doesn't necessarily confide in me about that kind of stuff. I would say this, in the words of the great American orator Mark Tauscher, no blank blank. They have 5 picks in the first 2 days, a first, 2 seconds, and 2 thirds. And Goody has said on multiple occasions that it gives you the flexibility to move around. Now, remember, while he has been more aggressive than his predecessor, Ted Thompson, with moving around the board a little bit, there are years where he has sat and picked where he picked every single time, where he was scheduled to pick, or at least close to it, until he kind of get into the wacky moving around stuff toward the end of day 3. And so he has dropped plenty of breadcrumbs that this is something that they will be more than willing to do based on the ammunition they have, because they have the Jets' second-round pick, because they have the Bills' third-round pick from the Rasul Douglas trade, because they got a fifth-round pick in compensatory picks to make up for the fifth-round pick they included going to the Bills in the Rasul Douglas trade. So he is... I think he has said it so many times that I fully expect them to at least try to move up. How high from 25 to 16? I don't know what the I don't have the draft value chart in front of me, what they'd have to give up to move up those nine spots. But, yeah, I have – because the other part of it is they have 11 picks. Last year, I think they had 13, Keith, if I'm right.
Yes.
And they kept almost all of them. They – like, when you have that many guys and that many guys from the previous two drafts that you like, you don't necessarily want to add 11 more because you know Goody wants to keep them all, right? And so it wouldn't surprise me if they ended up only taking nine players instead of 11. That makes perfect sense. That doesn't surprise me at all. My question would be, I would love to know who they are targeting. One of my favorite stories ever is when Goody told us for the end of, he was talking about Ted, and he said Ted used to always have a guy that was his like favorite guy, and Jordy Nelson is the most memorable example of this. And he would actually hide that player on their draft board, like he would give him a demonstrably lower grade than he should have had, so he was in a later round than he should have been in, and all the scouts. That it was like the parlor game in the scouting department, trying to figure out who Ted's guy was. And Goody was so proud because he figured out the year that they drafted Jordy that Jordy was that guy. And for I'm curious now if there is either that type of guy on Goody's board or if there is a specific guy in the first round, because the other great story is about how Ted Thompson went to the USC Pro Day and fell in love with Clay Matthews the minute he was there in LA.
Why? And did he think there was a rat, Jason?
No, he just, I think he kind of kept that to himself. Like, that's my guy. And they all knew he was doing that. And Lord knows between Ted and, I mean, I got Schneider in trouble a couple times because he told me stuff that Ted didn't want him telling reporters. So I don't think he thought there was a rat. I think he just thought, this is my thing, and I'm gonna surprise these guys. And the fact that they would spend every year trying to figure out who it was. My point is that if they're trading up, I'd love to know who they're trading up for, because one of the stories that I would love to get to the bottom of someday, I know I'm rambling, I'll be done in a second, was they traded up to 26. Before they knew who was going to be at 26 in 2020. And there were multiple reports that they traded up for Brandon Ayuk. And then remember, the 49ers went in one pick ahead of them, traded up 25 and took Ayuk. And the Packers' history looks a lot different if the 49ers don't make that trade and Brandon Ayuk and Jordan Love are both on the board. Who do they pick then? And how much credit are we giving, you know, Brian Gutekunst for his visionary of, hey, picking the next great quarterback 3 years before you need him, if those two are available and he takes Brandon Ayuk instead? So he is never, unlike other predecessors of his, I have not cracked that nut to get him to tell me what would have happened. But that is always going to be one thing that I will wonder, because obviously it's worked out great for them.
Great stories, great insight, Jason. We appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a good one.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Talish right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on ESPN Milwaukee. You guys remember me talking about being at the State Fair and seeing a sauna, right? We've all had those moments walking through an expo center and thinking, ooh, that is interesting. I might want to own one of those. Well, that's how it went for me in the Good Health Sauna, and I am so happy that I finally went and got one because it feels great after my workouts. I am sleeping better. And guys, when I was on vacation last week, I actually missed my sauna. That's how beneficial it is just to my daily life, because I sleep better and my skin feels better and my recovery from my workouts is better. And so with all of those things being better, why wouldn't you invest in your health and wellness and longevity with a Good Health Sauna? You can go to their website. That's where you can see all of the infrared saunas that they have to offer. That website is goodhealthsaunas.com, goodhealthsaunas.com. And if you talk to them, tell them that Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
you get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, it seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Are you in favor of the 80-team Super League? Now, Jason Wilde reminded us this is not the Super League like the Justice League. This is not Marvel-esque. This is the Super League of 80, according to this proposed idea, college programs, 70 of which would be locks, 10 of which would be subject to relegation on a year-by-year basis. Go ahead and weigh in on whether or not you are in on the Super League. We have to be very quick here because I want to still get to our brackets. But Gabe, you are a resident golfer,
mm-hmm.
golf guy,
yep.
golf brain.
Yep.
Tiger Woods, no nookie, huh?
I mean, I just assumed there was, few and far between after he, kicked his girlfriend unceremoniously out of the house
about
a little year ago.
Is this in preparation for the golf, or is this just in general?
No, this is just, apparently a friend of his was telling the New York Post for some reason that, he's really focused on the Masters, which starts next week. He's working out, eating right, looking good, has even eliminated sex.
Yeah, but wouldn't you be all pent up? That's not a good thing.
Well, I mean, they say boxers do this all the time, though, Chew.
Chewy, I just assumed that some of you guys would do this.
Yeah, right. Although we used to think during training camp they put saltpeter in our food.
Remind us what saltpeter is again.
Doesn't allow you to get wood.
Well, we brought it full circle because Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Yeah, I never thought of that. You're welcome.
So this was not something that any of you or your buddies subscribed to, the idea of no nookie before action, before performance?
No, I used to torment.
Is it Nookie the Jeff, action?
Yeah, it is.
I used to torment Jeff Thomason. Oh, it was so funny.
Why?
Crack up.
What'd you do?
Because we were roommates, and I would, my wife calls me late for being early. So I'm on Lombardi time. I'm always 15 minutes ahead. So I always got to the hotel before JT got there.
Okay.
And when I got in there, I'd always take a washcloth, get it wet, and then put that on his pillow with a bottle of lotion. And it would drive him absolutely insane. Now, Jen probably has no idea what we're talking about, but Gabe and Josh get it.
I mean, I think Jen has an imagination. I think she can figure it out, pal.
I'm actually offended by you thinking I don't know what you're talking about.
What a wet washcloth and a bottle of lotion would be
good
for.
Good Lord.
Why is the washcloth wet? Should I be asking that question?
No, I mean, I wasn't going to.
Okay.
I thought it was for cleanup.
All right, you know what that means.
It's like a baby wipe.
And he'd always take a pencil and pick it up and then throw it and then kick the lotion off the bed. Oh, I used to torment him.
So this is not a thing. I feel like Pablo Torre, who has a great podcast, Pablo Torre Finds Out. I feel like recently I haven't listened to the podcast, but I saw that he was having a conversation with someone about whether or not there was any science behind the theory that you should or should not nookie before.
Well, I mean, again, I think this starts in boxing because they always said it gave you weak knees.
That's a lie. That's wrong.
But I'm just telling you
because
where
as soon as you get rid of it, it starts building it back up, right?
I don't know.
Like Wolverine, it regenerates.
We're so far into the euphemisms, which I want to stay there, but I'm having a hard time following exactly what all this means.
Yeah.
Between the nookie and the action and the performance,
yeah.
It all sounds the same. Tiger Woods is, according to one of his buddies, staying focused in advance of the Masters, which includes no nookie.
I mean, Chewy, you've seen the Seinfeld episode. George gets smarter when he eliminates that.
Yes. But the last thing you want to do, Gabe, I think when you go on a golf course is be angry.
Depends upon who you are. Depends upon the type of guy you are. Because I think Brooks Koepka has a little bit of that anger, and I think he has a little bit of that focus when he goes into major championships and seems to have helped him out.
Really? I thought you want to be cerebral, Tom.
Let me just, not that we have a lot of scientific evidence here, but I thought Tiger Woods was playing his best golf when he was famously having all the
hoarding.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, he was like a squirrel.
Am I wrong about? I mean, maybe that's causation without correlation.
Yeah.
But it felt like that's when he was doing really well on the golf course.
Yeah, but again, that's when you're younger, Jen, and it's just so much easier to, you know,
your T levels are a little higher.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect way to describe
being
it.
Being scientific about it. Let's put this.
Why
on
is it just
Josh.
Guys?
Can you help
though?
Me with this.
No, I'm used to.
No, but just like, do you believe in the, is this something that works? Does this, I don't know. No?
How exactly do you want to phrase this to be appropriate where everyone understands it enough, but also not over the line?
I think we use Tiger Woods as the Trojan horse. I think we...
And it's careful with those words.
Well, I could tell you this. I can tell you this. And it goes back to college, maybe pro. They would have us work out in the morning because they say in the morning your T levels are the highest. Now, that we had to abide. Because I hate working out in the morning. I mean, like... I'm talking
first
like
thing in the morning,
6 o'clock in the morning.
But yeah. What time were your games?
No, I'm saying lifting weights.
Okay. But
we
wouldn't you want your T levels to be highest when you're playing the game? Maybe you can't alter your T levels.
Yeah, football. Yes, football.
Jason.
Yes,
Gabe,
football.
Talk to your friends at Mentality. Let me know if they can help us out with this conversation. We are obviously out of our depth here.
But that's why guys, you know, like it in the morning more so than the afternoon.
Okay. Well, I think that's just personal preference for some people.
Afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in the morning.
Anyway, Tiger Woods, huh? All right. Well, let's see if it works. Let's see if it, I mean, it sounds like at this point of Tiger Woods' career, he's willing to try anything.
Yeah, because, I mean, he hasn't been able to finish a tournament. You know, he just hasn't been able to stay healthy enough and... Again, I don't know if that's going to help him stay healthy, but...
You know how far down on my list that would be? Like, I do a lot of things, right? Got the sauna, I drink the ginger shot.
Sure.
You know how far down on my list no nookie would be? Well, Jen, it'll help your performance. I'm good.
You know what? I've won 15 majors. I've had a pretty good career. Maybe it's not as important anymore. A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune into Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer some of your questions too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Is it against the law to be a moron or not?
The law.
Not yet.
I texted this to Jen earlier. The law does protect some people from things that are called an attractive nuisance.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Grievance, whoa, let me start again. The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance bracket continues. Gabe has the latest teams remaining in our grievance bracket. It can't be that many at this point. I missed a whole week.
We're down to the Elite Eight.
All right, or as Chewy says, the Fine Eight. The Final Eight.
Final Eight.
Final Destination.
So we have two matchups here we're going to unveil right now for the Elite Eight. Two more coming up later in the show. Then our last four, I don't know what Chewy's calling it, will be tomorrow. We go to the dining region, the final in the dining region, the number one seed advancing, waiting for a seat when there are clearly tables open, taking on loud talking at a nearby table.
Wait a minute, that beat out, tip included, no mention?
Yes.
Wow, that's an upset. Nobody likes to be lied to about their money, but apparently... More people don't like standing in the foyer of a restaurant when there are tables clearly available.
53.2% to 46.8%.
Wow.
It advanced.
All right.
And then the final in the bathroom region, the number one seed, pee on the seats, taking on the five seed of out of toilet paper.
Huh. Pee on the seat beat out flush, right? Forgot the flush?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what did the other one beat out?
Long lines at a venue.
I guess because you kind of know that's going to happen, or you at least expect that's going to happen. All right, so that's two more brackets, two more matchups in our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance bracket. Chewy, you got any thoughts on either of those?
I think they're more girl things.
All of them?
Like peeing on the seat, eh. And then out of toilet paper, eh.
Again, because Chewy famously does not play road games when it comes to toilet seats. Yes. He is doing that in the comfort of his own home.
What if there's pee on the seat at your house?
Well, there normally is.
You that bad at aim?
How many? What do we got? Well, it used to be five males to two females. Yeah. So better chance of getting pee in the seat than non-pee on the seat. But there wouldn't be pee on the seat if the rule was whatever gender is more prevalent in the household, seat stays up.
Yeah,
then you don't have to worry about pee on the seat.
You keep banging that drum, Princess P. What about the other one?
How lazy are you just to lift up the seats?
No, the dining one. You weren't listening. Gabe, what was the dining one?
Waiting for a
seat. I was sending you guys the menu where I'm going tonight, and I am so excited.
He did.
This trumps. I don't care what restaurant. You know, give me the bougiest restaurant. This is my kind of place.
Ukrainian restaurant and a martini bar.
There's a whole category of borscht
and soup.
I'm right now between the borscht and the pickle soup. I think I just go with a cup of each.
Just get both. Yeah,
you have to get, at least in some form or fashion, Chewy, borscht, if you want to continue to talk about borscht on the show.
Oh, it's like the athlete card.
Yeah.
You have to renew it.
You have to renew the borscht card.
Gabe, they got potato pancakes.
Potato pancakes are fantastic. Yes.
Wait, we've talked about this before, but I want to know again. Applesauce or sour cream?
Applesauce.
I'm out on potato pancakes. I'm scarred for life.
What did the potato pancake do?
Because during Lent, when I was growing up as a kid, that's all my mother would make. And that is not a meal. I'm sorry.
I mean, during Lent.
So I've taken a stand ever since then.
In fairness,
potato pancakes are not a meal that can stand on its own.
I mean, my mom did the same thing. But when you're growing up and, you know, Chew, you got, again, we had three kids. You had, what, six? And especially when you're not even the biggest one of the six.
Yeah.
Potato pancakes, that sack of potatoes can feed you real quick.
Here we go.
God bless America.
It's like once a week at this point.
Are you serious? It happened when I was gone, too?
But it just happened outside. We didn't get it in here, but we saw it and heard it going on out in the 3rd Street Market Hall.
Can you give them your attention, please?
No, I refuse.
What? You're just going to ignore it?
Well, they're crying wolf at this point.
That's a very good point. That is a very good point. You show us a fire, or we are leaving. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We roll on right after this.